Welcome to the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Charlie Meliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 4-3 in overtime. Quick one-off home game for the Blackhawks after they just came from a four-game road trip on the East Coast. Quick game here at the United Center before they embark on a three-game road trip on the West Coast. And I'm going to bring in Steve Conroy now to help me break down this game. And Steve, this kind of had a roller coaster feel to this game, where really good first period by the Hawks, really bad second period by the Blackhawks, really good third period by the Blackhawks, and then 33 seconds into overtime, the Winnipeg Jets win this game.
Yeah, that's hockey, right? You win two of the three periods but end up losing the game. And that's going to happen. And I really, we talked to Tyler Bertuzzi after the second period. He said that first period maybe the best they forechecked all year long. And it was a dominating first period. It was great to see. And then I don't know, it was Winnipeg who flipped the switch, and they were the ones really forechecking and controlling the boards, controlling the play. As John just pointed out, I think the shots were 15-2 in favor of Winnipeg in period number two. But you know, sometimes that can taint a team for the rest of the game. But they came back and they forgot about period number two, and they put it right back to Winnipeg and controlled the play. The shots were 10-2. They outscored them 1-0, and they tied it at 3. Unfortunately, they lost that draw to start the overtime, because it just seems like whoever establishes possession, not all the time, but whoever establishes possession is going to get a really good look. And Kyle Connor got a really good look, and not very often he misses, and he didn't. He scored his 34th and gives Winnipeg the win. How about this? Winnipeg now, they have won 4 of their last 5 games. They also have points in 8 of their last 10 games. They're 1 point out of a playoff spot.
I feel like that's indicative on the Western Conference this year, because it's good funny point. Looking at the Eastern Conference, how I think it's 11 teams in the East would probably be first place in the Pacific Division. Mm-hmm. So it is a really strange year. But yeah, that doesn't discredit the fact that the Winnipeg Jets have made a run post-Olympics and have really made things interesting. The Hawks scored the first goal in this game for the third straight contest, but they are 0-2-1 in those three games. I think it was the 42nd time this season the Hawks have scored first. That's tied for 6th in the entire NHL in most goals, scoring the first goal of the game. They came into this game 21-13-7 for a win percentage of 517 in those previous 41 instances. Mm-hmm. That win percentage, though, ranks 30th in the NHL. So the Hawks do a great job of scoring first, but it's holding the lead and pushing it through the rest of the game.
I think a lot of that is, you know, the rookies on the team. I'm just going to be blunt about it. It's a young team, and they're not used to, you know, sometimes those situations, playing with a lead. It is a great thing. You always want to score the first goal, because I know when you're on the other side of that, it's like, okay, now not only do we have to score 1 to tie it, we've got to score 2 to win. So you want that early advantage, and the Blackhawks have been getting that. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to hang on to that lead. But that's okay. That means they're starting on time. You like to see the good starts. I go back to that New Jersey game. They dominated in that first period, and then all of a sudden the second period, it's the New Jersey Devils who kind of held serve there. So it'll come, and you know, I'm sure fans are tired of hearing it, but this team is growing through these losses. They're learning through the losses, and you know, they're gaining a lot of valuable experience, and at some point it's going to be them taking advantage of younger teams, but they're just going to have to wait their turn.
There were a lot of positives in this game, and I think the biggest positive was the second line of Tyler Bertuzzi, Anton Frondell, and Ilya Mikheyev, who factored in on all three of the goals tonight. Tyler Bertuzzi with 2 of them. We'll get to him in a little bit, but how about Anton Frondell scoring his first career NHL goal? And funny enough, he had changed his number from 15 to 16 before today's game. So he spent the first 4 games of his NHL career wearing 15, mm-hmm. had 4 points in 4 games, all assists, changes his number to 16, which is the number that he wore for Team Sweden at the World Juniors and helped them win a gold medal, was named the best forward of the tournament, and he scores the first goal of the game. So, Steve, he can wear 15, 16, 17, 14, whatever the number is, he's going to contribute offensively, and it was great to see him get his first one here in his first home game at the United Center.
Yeah, I just like seeing him on the ice, because it's not just the offense, it's the defense too, and Jeff Blashill has talked about it a lot. his 200-foot game, and he's always, well, he tries to be the first guy back. He's disrupting plays with his stick. He's using his body. Listen, he's still, what, 18, 19 years of age. He's going to grow more. He's going to get stronger. But I'm just really impressed with the chemistry that he has with Bertuzzi and Mikheyev. I mean, you know, Mikheyev has been playing on a third line away from Bertuzzi. Those guys are together now. I think this is just the second, maybe third game Frondell has played with these guys. And they've got instant chemistry. And that is sometimes tough to find. They have it. It looks like they've been playing all year together. And it's only going to get better from here on in. So I like what I've seen from the youngster. Now, I don't know. I noticed a couple of times his shot went a little high and wide. Let's see how many. I'm just going to
check. And how about on the one of the power play opportunities?
Yes.
He fired it wide, and it went. That thing ricocheted off the board so quickly, it went straight to Frank Nazar, and he had a wide open net, and he unfortunately missed it.
That's right. That was the play. Yeah, exactly.
That's probably what you're thinking of. But yeah, how many shot attempts did he have?
So he had 6 shot attempts, which
there
is pretty darn good. And in fact, well, Frankie Nazar ended up with 9. So good for Frankie. Frank's really found another gear. And obviously that's the confidence, and he's skating well, and he wants the puck. But for Anton Frondell to have an influence on the game like he has, he scored the goal. You know, faceoff department wasn't great, but to have, 6 shot attempts, a little over 16 minutes of playing time, that's outstanding.
How about Tyler Bertuzzi? Gets 2 goals in this game. One of them, a highlight reel, spinorama slash backhand. We had him on the second intermission as our player guest, and you guys asked him, have you tried that at practice? And he's like, nope. So it's like, I mean, he does have the skill set to do that stuff, but man, that was a beautiful goal. And for him to score 30, then 31 to tie a career high and then surpass his career high, I mean, just kind of putting a stamp on an already career year for the Blackhawks.
Yeah. And I think it's no coincidence that he had his last career year with Jeff Blashill, and of course Jeff Blashill, the new head coach here in Chicago, back with Tyler Bertuzzi, and Tyler Bertuzzi responded in a real positive way. I love that goal, and if you get a chance to watch it again, and if you're driving home listening to this, you watch the replay. Hockey's about deception, and he deceives Connor Hellebuck, one of the best goalies in the NHL, gold-winning medal goaltender for Team USA, by looking to make a pass. Like he literally looks, he comes down on the right side, he's a left shot, he looks in the middle of the ice like he's going to pass to somebody, and literally in the same motion turns around while he's skating and fires it in the net. He probably ended up on the ice because nobody ends up on his knees more in a game than Tyler Bertuzzi, if you watch him, because it's always second and third effort. He's diving for pucks. He's chopping at guys. It just seems like whenever I see number 59 out there, he's always getting up from his skates. Much like on that goal, I think he ended up going down after the shot. But he sold that so well. The deception was perfect. Everyone in the building, myself included, was looking to see him either shoot on the forehand, maybe make a pass, and he ends up the spinorama. Denny Savard would have been proud of that. spinorama shot just inside the post.
He sure would have. And he does, Tyler Bertuzzi, his hands in tight are so slick. His hockey sense and IQ is very high. Mm-hmm. So like you mentioned, he's always diving and he's on his knees. It because he kind of understands, like, I need to dive to go get this puck because the defender might get it, is going to beat me like a half a sec. His situational awareness is really impressive to watch, and it's been a joy to watch him, and he's done it now. I mean, he's done it on the power play. He does it at even strength, and he does it mostly in those high danger areas. I think he's leads the NHL in those high danger goals. This one, I think they registered it as 18 feet out. So that's a shot from distance for Bertuzzi relative to where he's been getting those pucks in from this year. But I just think that line as a whole has been buzzing. And you mentioned Ilya Mikheyev too. This guy's been on a third line checking role for the majority of really his Blackhawks career with Jason Dickinson, and whether it's Teravainen with Ryan Donato. I bet you he's kind of feeling some rejuvenation. Like, okay, I get to play with Bertuzzi and with Anton Frondell. Like, I'll tap into my offensive potential a little bit more.
Yeah, I know. He's the perfect complement to those guys because he's very responsible defensively. You know, as is Frondell, as is Burt, but, you know, he's got that speed, and he's a great penalty killer, too. I was talking to one of the fans earlier, and they said, I really hope they re-sign him. And I said, I do, too. I think he's the best penalty killer. He goes, and we've got Kantsarov coming next year, and he's a Russian, and maybe Ilya will be able to help him acclimate. And I thought, God, you know, really good point by you. Just getting back to Burt. He's all hands and he's all stick and he's all arms and sometimes it doesn't look pretty, but he is so good at knocking pucks out of the air, at coming up with pucks along the boards, and he's an underrated passer. And tonight, of course, he had the two goals, but he's so good at finding guys who are open, and he puts it where they want. He puts the puck where the guy wants it. So we can't underestimate Burt because, you know, he always looks disheveled when you see him off the ice. Sometimes he looks disheveled on the ice, but boy, he gets the job done.
You know, he does look that way, and even in the media, he can kind of just be, his answers can be bland, but we've had the luxury of traveling with the team this year, and he is one of the most beloved players inside that locker room, and he's loud. He's like the life of the party. He's always laughing. Even when the Blackhawks tweet out those videos of them playing pregame soccer warmups, Bertuzzi is always the guy that's flailing, and he's arguing, he's going crazy, like he has everyone laughing. And so the Bertuzzi that you get on camera is a more reserved Bertuzzi of what he is far more reserved than what he is off camera. Like he's very beloved inside that Blackhawks locker room.
Yeah, I'd like to say he lives with emotion. I mean, you know, you're right. When you hear somebody laughing really hard, it's normally Tyler. And then when you watch him on the ice too, he plays with passion. He lives life with passion, I think, and we see that emotion on the ice too. So, yeah, it's great to see, and I enjoyed the interview with him. We haven't had him on very much. I'd love to get him on a lot more. Very refreshing.
All right, last one for you. Jonathan Toews, return part two here in Chicago. Didn't notice him too much in this game. Let's see, he got 15 minutes and 45 seconds of ice time, two shots on goal, three shot attempts, a hit. He was 6 for 12 in the faceoff circle, so he went 50%. But it was cool to see the ovation that he got when he first stepped onto the ice for the first time in the shift. I think it was actually he took like the third or fourth shift of the game for the Winnipeg Jets. And the second he went over the boards, you could just hear the crowd start cheering. And there were some people on the ice that didn't know what was going on. And, of course, it was because number 19 hopped out there.
Well, and I've never seen this before. You're right about that third or fourth shift. He literally got a half-standing ovation here. During the Canadian National Anthem, the camera went down the Winnipeg Jets bench, and as soon as his face came up on the Jumbotron, everyone started cheering. And I didn't know what it was at first, and I'm looking around, and I look at the Jumbotron, and I see Johnny, and of course, right away, I know what it is. So don't think that I've ever seen that before. Yeah, he's a beloved, iconic fixture here in Chicago. Of course, the three Stanley Cups have cemented his legacy in this city. And the fact that he threw out the first pitch a couple of days ago at the Cubs game, had an opportunity to talk to him about it this morning, and he said, you know, I felt honored doing it, but he said it was a really good bonding experience for our team because literally all the players were there. They were right behind the Cubs dugout. They really enjoyed themselves, and he thought it really helped bring them together. They haven't been able to do much of that this year, and they got in here a couple of days early, and he said it was a real nice bonding opportunity for the team.
Yeah, you mentioned that when he got put on camera during the Canadian National Anthem, the credit to the camera guy, too, because he was panning throughout the entire bench on the ice, and then he kind of just slows down at Toews, and the crowd just starts cheering, and then he just stops, and then he's like, gives it a couple seconds, and then he moves on to the next to the next guy. So it was a great ovation, and you know, who knows what Jonathan Toews' career is going to look like beyond this year, whether he is going to officially hang it up, but if this was his last game at the United Center, it made my heart warm that he was able to go out on his terms, and he wasn't able to, you know, his last game with the Blackhawks a few years ago was amazing. Like he got the salute, he got the lap, he almost scored an overtime goal. Like it was, he scored a goal, almost scored the overtime winner, but it still makes my heart warm, even though Winnipeg Jets might not make the playoffs. They are knocking on the door right now.
Yeah.
It is cool to see him play hockey, and him, if he does decide to retire at the end of the year, makes my heart warm that it was on his terms.
Yeah, because, you know, if you don't follow Johnny's career real closely, you know, he literally had a health scare. He was worried. He was concerned about you know, where he was. He didn't know it was concussions, whether it was something internal. Took some time away from hockey. Went to India a couple of separate times. You know, did some health cleanses there. And he said it really helped him, and it helped him a lot. And he's in a good place now, mentally, physically. He almost did score in the first period. I don't know if you saw the play.
He did. It was a tap in, and I think Spencer Knight got a pat on it, right?
He might have. Yeah, you're right. He did. Yeah, because I think Johnny was on the backhand redirection right into the pad of Spencer Knight. But I was just wondering if he'd have scored there, what the reaction would have been.
I thought about if this game goes to a shootout.
Oh gosh,
Taves would have been the first guy out there, and do you think it would have been simultaneous cheers and boos? Like I think I don't know what it would have been. It would have been like a fun boo, you know.
Yeah,
kind of like, all right, this is the one chance we get to boo Jonathan Toews for fun.
Yeah, because we want to win.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think you're right. I think the sentiment of the fans would have been, no, you're the enemy now. We want the Blackhawks to win. But that all being said, he's in a better place now. Whether or not he returns next year, who knows? I think he's having a lot better half of this season than he did the first half of this year. I think he struggled a little bit out of the gate. But, you know, you expect that. He'd been out of hockey for, what, two, almost 3 years. So he feels good about himself. He's in a great place. And it remains to be seen whether or not he decides to come back. Let's see what happens. If they make the playoffs, listen, I know they're a dark horse right now. But if they make the playoffs, you've got maybe the number one goaltender one of the top five goaltenders in the NHL. You've got the experience of Jonathan Toews. You know, Scheifele and Connor are unstoppable at times. This team could do some damage. They get some bodies back. Niederreiter means a lot to this team, as does Domestikov. Those guys have been out for an extended period of time. That could be a team to watch if they make the playoffs.
Steve, great stuff as always. You just escaped on the West Coast or on the East Coast for four games. Now you got to go back to the East Coast to the West Coast for three games. And so next time I see you, we'll have a four game homestand to end the regular season. So have a safe trip to Edmonton, and we'll see you when you get back.
That sounds great. Thanks, Charlie.
All right. The Blackhawks fall to the Winnipeg Jets 4-3 in overtime. Anton Frondell and Tyler Bertuzzi just got done speaking to the media, so we'll hear what they had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Bertuzzi's got the puck behind the net. Tried to center. Ends up laying against the side of the net. Now flipped out to Mikheyev. He fires. Turned out of there by Hellebuck. Frondell put it to the right point. Crevier fires the puck in behind. Mikheyev leaves in front. Frondell shoots. He scores! His first National Hockey League goal gives the Hawks a 1-0 lead. 4:42 into the contest. Anton Frondell, a point a game in his National Hockey League career so far. I guess the number change worked out, and somebody get that puck. It's 1-0 Hawks.
Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The first career NHL goal for Anton Frondell, and hopefully the first of very many in a Blackhawks sweater. What a perfect goal for Anton Frondell and to do it here at the United Center. He finishes the game with six shot attempts. He had three on goal. Didn't have the greatest night in the faceoff circle. He had just four wins on 13 draws for the Blackhawks for a win percentage of 31%. But I thought his skill set was noticeable, and I did think it was noteworthy too that the Blackhawks ended up putting Anton Frondell on the first shift of overtime with Connor Bedard and Wyatt Kaiser. And I think some growing pains too, because I did mark down that Anton Frondell was part of the, which goal was it for the Winnipeg Jets? And I thought he was partly responsible for, it was Winnipeg's first one, the Josh Morrissey one, where I think he had a miscommunication thinking that one of the defensemen was going to kind of jump in front, but he ends up kind of leaving his guy, and then it led to the Josh Morrissey goal, and then the overtime goal was obviously Kyle Connor's guy that led to the overtime loss. So, but I thought as a whole, Anton Frondell really looked good. Let's go to Frondell and hear what he had to say after scoring his first career NHL goal with Chicago.
I know you would have liked it in a win, but just how did it feel to get your first goal?
An amazing feeling. Dream coming true, and happy to do it in my first home game.
Did you switch your number to 16 in honor of Marcus?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay.
He's been a good guy for me for over two seasons back in Sweden, like a mentor, and it's pretty awesome to play with the same number.
What made it occur to you to change it today?
I couldn't change on the road trip. So as soon as we get back home, they said I can switch. So, yeah.
Did you talk to Marcus about it? Did you tell him
you did
this?
Yeah, a little bit. I asked him if he would get angry at me if I did it. But it was fine with him. He seems happy.
You looked pretty comfortable in your first couple of games. Just how have you felt out there the first five?
I mean, the game is... It's a whole new level from what I'm used to play back in Sweden. It's everything goes so fast. Everyone is a lot better. So it's I still have a lot to learn, and it's just keep going, get better.
Did you feel more comfortable at center tonight?
The last game?
This game, do you feel more comfortable?
I guess so. Yeah, a little bit more. But the second game as a center, it's get into it a little bit. I enjoy playing in the middle of the ice. It's fun.
It seems like you've developed chemistry pretty quickly with Bertuzzi and McCabe. How's it been with them?
They both are so good out there. They forecheck a lot. They win the pucks. Bertuzzi got two nice goals today. McCabe, who wins every battle. It's fun to play with them, and fun guys too.
What was it like playing in this building in front of Hawks fans for the first time?
Incredible. I heard when I back on the road trip, I heard like because when we played in Madison Square Garden in different arenas, I thought, oh, this is pretty good. But they say wait till you get back at home, and I know what they mean by that. No, it's pretty good good crowd out there.
Was playing in 3-on-3 overtime, is that different than I guess you used to, or did you notice anything just from?
I mean, it's a tight game. Fun. I love to play in those situations when it's tight and when like the game is kind of on your stick. And now we end up losing. It sucks. So it's kind of hard to be happy right now. And I can learn from my overtime today.
Thank you.
All right, that was Blackhawks number 3 overall pick, Anton Frandell. Thought he was solid in this game and obviously scored his first career NHL goal. Want to get to a texter really quick, the 630 number. Hey, Charlie, I thought Connor Bedard should have been out there to take the faceoff in overtime. It's still a game in the regular season and not a practice. Thanks again for all you do for the Chicago Blackhawks. Best regards, John, and is it Rogi the Cat from Oswego, Illinois? Hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Thank you for the text. I agree with you guys. I think Connor probably should have taken the faceoff, given the fact that Frandell hasn't played center essentially all season long, and he kind of struggled at the dot in this game as well. So I'm right there with you. I wonder if the Hawks maybe looked at it as kind of like a learning opportunity to kind of just throw him into the fire and see how he handles some of that responsibility. But other than his numbers at the faceoff circle and obviously his losing his guy on the overtime goal and the first goal of Josh Morrissey, kind of the miscommunication, I think Frandell was solid in this game. All right, how about Tyler Bertuzzi? Scored his 30th and 31st goals in this game. Also had 3 shots on goal. Let's hear what he had to say following this loss to Winnipeg.
This is when you guys were able to battle back there and almost pull out 2.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of our best first periods I think we've had all year and definitely in a long time. And then kind of the second, we didn't play the same way and kind of, you know, gave them life. And then we battled back in the third and kind of had the same third as our first. But, you know, obviously it's hard in this league when you get a full period not playing your best. That's when, you know, you give up too much and it costs you.
What do you think of the new kid?
He's good. No, I really like playing with him. He's big. He forechecks hard, and I think that's why we had success tonight. And you know, we're just all over the puck, forechecking hard, and you know, he battles, which I like.
Does he look like somebody who's only played 5 NHL games?
No. He looks right at home. He's just going to keep getting better as he grows and continues to play and play big minutes and play big, in big spots, and you know, the future is looking bright.
Can you see what, I guess, what Blashill's looking to do the lineup wise, you know, having Bedard, Nazar, and Fandel down the middle, and how that maybe changes what you guys look like as a lineup?
Yeah, I think it just gives us more, you know, more depth. You know, they're three really good centers. They're going to be, you know, centers here in this organization for a long time, and it gives us depth and, you know, different line combos to try and create more offense.
You put the team on your back there a little bit in the third. Do you kind of, now that you're a captain, do you kind of see that as like a captain responsibility to kind of wear your team back when they're not feeling themselves?
It's Mickey both times. You know, on the forecheck, he created the turnover. I just got the puck, and then, you know, on the goal, he made a great play. So, you know, I thought as a whole group, we played a really good game, except for obviously the second, and we just got to, you know, build off that and learn from it.
Did you see a 30-goal season for yourself coming into this season?
No, but I know I can do it. I've done it before. You know, I'm going to keep going to the net, keep doing the same things. Like I said before, you know, my body's been feeling good. It's been keeping me, you know, in games and being able to, you know, compete at the hardest I can and at the highest level I can. And obviously playing with some good players to help.
With younger guys around you, do you find this time of year maybe you've got a little more extra energy with the young guys?
Yeah, I felt like we just had so much energy. You know, everyone's playing for spots and, you know, to show themselves, and you know, the young guys are going to be starting to carry this team.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, that was Blackhawks forward Tyler Bertuzzi passing the 30-goal plateau. So now Connor Bedard and Tyler Bertuzzi both have at least 30 goals this season. Last time that's happened for a Blackhawks duo with 30-plus goals, Patrick Kane and Dominic Kubalik, when they scored 33 and 30 respectively in the 19-20 season. So how about that? Bedard and Bertuzzi becoming the first duo since Kane and Kubalik, which was 7 years ago. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. We'll hear from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Winnipeg Jets hand the Blackhawks a 4-3 overtime loss. Time now for tonight's Ice Times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. It was Wyatt Kaiser that was the ice time leader for the Blackhawks in this game. 23 minutes and 7 seconds of ice time. On the Winnipeg side, Josh Morrissey led the way at 23:42. Steve Conrad made a comparison on the broadcast. I actually really like this, that Josh Morrissey and Wyatt Kaiser have a lot of similarities, and they both wear number 44, so let's start with there, but they're also both 6 feet and around the same playing weight. But when I was watching Wyatt Kaiser, when I watch him walk the line, like he's really smooth at walking the line, and just he's so good on his edges. And I know Josh Morrissey is one of the best defensemen in the NHL, but I see that comparison with Wyatt Kaiser, and I think he can get there, or like get in that ballpark if he continues that trajectory moving forward. So Wyatt Kaiser, another game where he's leading the Blackhawks in ice time. All right, Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill spoke to the media a little bit ago. It went almost 10 minutes long, but we do not have time to get all of it in here. So let's just get to a few minutes before we take our last break and hear what the Blackhawks head coach had to say after his team's performance.
Anton Fondell has looked pretty cool and comfortable for an 18-year-old out there, and just how good to see him get that goal tonight.
Yeah, it was great. Great for him to get the goal. You know, he's done an excellent job. To be out against what I think is one of the best lines in the league with Scheifele and Connor, and there was some mistakes, but overall I thought he did an excellent job. You know, the line did an excellent job, so don't take away from Mickey and Bert. It's kind of a line that kind of gets it in terms of the way they want to play together. So I thought certainly throwing to the wolves, and I thought he did a real good job.
You guys are so loose defensively on the road trip, but to come out in that first period and then play that third period too. What do you see defensively?
I was really happy with our guys. Like we came out in the first, obviously we were really, really good. Didn't give up a chance until the last very last couple seconds. Second wasn't good enough. Got in our D zone a little bit too much and gave up too many chances, and we went through a few things, but I just think they answered unreal, and that's a great, great testament to our group came out and we were excellent in the third. And I think we only gave up one chance in the third, you know. So I thought we deserved, you know, I don't want to say deserved a better fate because, they, you know, at the end of the night, I think chances were almost exactly equal. You know, we haven't been good enough in 3-on-3, so that's frustrating for all of us. I'm sure it's frustrating for you guys, frustrating for me, frustrating for our players, but I don't think that should take away from the process that we had through lots of that game was really good.
The first goal by Morrissey when Frondell kind of peeled off both the D were on the other side of the net, like, what needs to happen differently on that?
Not that. Frondell actually could have stayed with Morrissey, number one. So that's a learned thing that, you know, he's just, he's just new to the system. And then you know, one of Louis or Vlas should have been on that post, that strong side post. And they, whatever, they kind of mixed that up. But, you know, also, Frondell could have just stayed with him, too. So, you know, he came back to the bench and said, should I stay with him? Said, yeah. So, like, that's a good thing that he understands those situations and will learn from them. And to me, that's the number one thing. He's going to make mistakes, as I told him. You know, right off the bat, but I don't care about mistakes. I care about learning from mistakes. And the same thing would be with Louis and Vlas. Like, they've done a pretty good job. You know, they've been out against a lot of really good players throughout throughout the season. They're both, you know, fairly young players in terms of experience. Certainly Louis doesn't have tons of experience. And, you know, it's probably one of those things where he was really worried about Scheifele back door. He should have probably just given him a little cross check and got to that front post and Vlas took over.
He's had such an incredible season, 31 goals, and how important, I know you guys still have 7 games left in the season, but how important is it to add guys like that next year? Because if you look at your roster, what might be next year is going to be awfully young.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I would leave that for kind of a summer conversation in terms of, yeah, those types of things. You know, ultimately, you know, I think we understand internally that for the growth of our team will be internally, not necessarily from guys that are added, but I'll start with just one. You know, you talked about Bert. Bert's been excellent, you know, but I think Bert's an excellent player. Like, I think he's been excellent for a lot of years in this league, and he was excellent for me when he was in Detroit, when I was in Detroit with him. He's been excellent here. He's really done a good job of playing winning hockey. We'll see what the roster looks like in terms of young guys, older guys, added guys. You know, certainly we need guys that we need guys either through growth of our young players or whatever it might be, that, you know, guys that play good two-way games, and that's what he does.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. We'll take our final break here, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show, Flight is the next generation of light beer, putting a stamp on this 4-3 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Next time we'll be here at the United Center will be next week when the Blackhawks finish off the regular season with a 4-game homestand. Time now for a Blackhawks prospect update. Let's check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Blackhawks 2024 first-round pick Merrick Van Acker is currently in their first-round playoff series with the Brantford Bulldogs. He scored twice in the game tonight, including the overtime winner in a 6-5 victory. The Brantford Bulldogs have now taken a 3-0 lead in the first-round series of the playoffs. So congratulations to Van Acker, and hopefully they make a deep run with Brantford. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be embarking on a 3-game road trip starting tomorrow. Hawks are going to practice first, then travel to the Edmonton Oilers, who will host Chicago on Thursday. It's an 8 o'clock central start, 7:30 pregame show, and it's going to be the first time that the Blackhawks see their former familiar faces in Jason Dickinson and Connor Murphy. Colton Dock is currently on long-term injured reserve for the Oilers, so he will not be playing on Thursday. But it's going to be weird to see Dickinson and Murphy on the other end, and I imagine it's going to be an emotional game for them as well, as they're kind of fighting and clawing for a playoff seed and a playoff spot right now in the Western Conference. But I imagine it'll be a fun experience for the Blackhawks to see Dickinson and Murphy on Thursday when the Blackhawks are in Edmonton. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Citgo. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks, as always, to our on-site reporter, the one and only Jack Heinrich, our production crew of Tony DeNardis and Eli Burke. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang, and Dan Long was our captain today. For John Weideman and Steve Conrad, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-3 overtime loss to the Winnipeg Jets. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Thursday.